exist.
This is Bo Diddley, man. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our final hour here. Very weird night. I mean, weird. Woo! And now we've got, I forget who is it, Bobby Dooley is on the line. Bobby, by the way, I wanted to just update you. Was not in studio today with Dana Gould and the Sklar Brothers, and she was very, very apologetic about that. But she had some allergy issues or some physical issues. Margaret, you know, be kind, okay?
Well, I am kind. I wouldn't just assume I'm going to be rude, but I'm obviously a reporter, and I'm going to want to ask some questions.
Okay. Anyway, hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hi, Phil. I'm doing good, and Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, dear. Did you have an allergy problem today?
Yes, Margaret. In Los Angeles, as you know, we have dry air certain parts of the year, and I was not able to...
Can I ask you to move away from whatever that is?
Those are some children that are here in the mall. I'm with Steve, and we're picking up some things, some last-minute things for our Thanksgiving decorations for the Homeowners Association, as well as for this coming weekend's Falltacular.
No, I understand that, dear. Could you get away from... It's bothering me.
Look, Margaret, let me do that, okay?
Yeah, but listening to those kids, it's...
Margaret, if you were here, maybe we could have you backhand them across the face.
No. You know, you took that out of context. You really took it out of context.
What did I take out of context? You backhanding your son and then forehanding him and backhanding him.
I went back and forth in a very rhythmic way when he put a half-melted Baby Ruth in the bed next to me, making me think...
I understand that you, if I may say, that you crapped the bed.
Well, I guess it's too late. You ask, may you say that? No, you may not say that. No, you may not. That degrades me and everyone that hears it.
Margaret, he's a 14-year-old boy. He's going to do those things.
Because you have three sons and I only have one, you're going to tell me.
All right, can we finish now, ladies? Because this is not why I brought her on. I brought her on to ask her some questions. Margaret, you're here through the whole show. Three full hours we can hear from you. I want to hear from her.
The fact that she's telling me that my son tried to make it look like I crapped the bed.
What else do you call it when he half-melts a Baby Ruth, puts it in the bed next to you?
Well, you know what? I don't care why he did it or who did it. He got it.
All right, so we understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just stunned. I mean...
If Anthony Hopkins can do it with a PR-24 in Silence of the Lambs...
Then you can do that to your son's face wearing a 3-carat rock.
You got it. You got it, homegirl.
By the way, Phil, Margaret reminded me of something. That's how I'm going to be locking out... I'm serious. That's how I'm going to be locking out my podcast... Goodbye, homegirl. I know a lot of people were asking, why aren't you locking out with goodbye, girlfriend? I'm locking out now with goodbye, homegirl. You know, I didn't ask your opinion, Margaret. So am I supposed to respond to her?
No, you're not. No, you're being interviewed by me. Margaret, if you don't mind. I want to just ask you, I know you had made a comment to the effect that you were going to be sending an email with regard to the Boston Red Sox. And was that a congratulations?
No, it really is not my place to congratulate the Red Sox. I felt it was important for us to send a notice our notice of intent as to the Red Sox and those beards that they wore. It was our feeling that a notice of intent simply saying to the players and to management, and to that end I agree with Margaret, I think the man that owns that team is a pushy and very controlling man, grabbing the microphone, lording it over a female reporter. The man should have, I don't agree with having a knee driven into his groin, but if I were that woman, I would have pushed him off of that stage, simply just pushed him. It's only about a 2-foot drop. And
well, he's going to stumble and fall.
Well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I would have just taken the flat of my hand into his lower back and shoved him off that stage, because no man, I agree with you, Margaret, I'm agreeing with you, no man should do that. But our email of intent is to inform the Boston Red Sox that they can shave their beards now because they look absolutely grotesque. They look like fools. They look as if they're trying to be prophets in the I don't know. It gives me a very unsettling feeling that the Boston Red Sox were trying to guilt me into becoming a fan of theirs.
Well, now, why do you say that?
Well, if you're taking the field every day and you look like a rabbinical, I'm sorry, but you look like a rabbinical student or a Hasidic Jew, are you trying to tell me that that is either not anti-Semitic or you are attempting to control the spiritual beliefs of your fans, turning fans into followers? I think it's all very nefarious.
You're sure you're not overreacting to this?
Am I being interviewed by Phil Hendry?
Sorry.
Yes, you are. Margaret, please. Yes, you are, Bobby.
Did you have a question, Phil?
Well, if you don't mind, it's a good question. Are you overreacting to these beards?
No, I am not overreacting to these beards. They are grotesque in the extreme. They look like an attempt at the players to either mock Hasidic Jews or rabbinical students of some... I don't know enough about Judaism. Or they are actually trying to get me and others to turn them simply from ball players into some kind of religious clerics, teachers, individuals that we're supposed to follow. I'm offended by it. I know that everyone that will get my email will be offended by it. I've informed everyone that that's the proper response. I would be disappointed if you're not. My husband, Steve, has just come in from... Now, we did do a... Did you put them in all the mail slots, Steve?
Yeah, I put all them... Yeah, we did do a mass email, but then I put them in the mail slots, too. Just got back. The kids were in the truck with me.
So the kids put them in the mail slots.
All right, so you ran around the neighborhood tonight.
We didn't run around, Phil. I mean, it's not like we're running around in a panic. I gave a directive, and Steve and the boys went out and fulfilled that directive.
All right, so you went into the neighborhood tonight, you emailed everybody, and you also put these in mail slots to make sure that everyone got this statement of position by the Homeowners Association of Western Estates that the Boston Red Sox beards are offensive, religiously offensive. They look like they're mocking Jewish people or Hasidic Jews or, you said, rabbinical students?
Anyone who is rabbinical, whether they be a student or a member of the rabbinical rabbi, if you're a rabbinical rabbi, or...
That's the same thing.
Excuse me, is Mr. Hendry interviewing me or you?
Margaret. Yeah, when you say rabbinical rabbi...
Well, what is it, Steve?
If you're rabbinical, not rabbit, boys are talking about.
No, it's not a rat. It's if you are a rabbinical. We're going to look into that. We're going to get that straight. I can assure you that whatever mistakes were made will not be made, and we're going to get that straight.
Okay, so you're going to. Whatever, but the Boston Red Sox are supposed to respond to this how?
Well, I think they're going to respond to it the way they should be responding to it, which is to say that they will cut the beards off and look like human beings again and quit being offensive and... I don't know. What's the point of your question?
How are they supposed to... You're sending this out. Are they supposed to respond?
Yes, they're supposed to respond. Cut the beards off. You look like... anuses. There, how's that?
You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. You're the one that started all of this.
Oh my God, how did I start it?
By butting in and asking all kinds of questions and bugging her. She was bugged when she started talking about this stuff.
She's been bugged since the day she came bugging into the world. That woman's been bugging since the buggy.
Yeah, it's pretty good, bugging since a baby buggy.
Yes. Bobby Dooley has been bugging since the day she was in a baby buggy. In a buggy.
Buggy?
In a baby buggy, yes. Bobby Dooley has been...
Wait. What are you trying to say about me?
Hey, but don't put people on the air.
Well, Bud put me on the air because I told him to. You're saying I've been bugging since I buggied.
No, I didn't. I said you've been bugging... Would you put her on hold?
Margaret, I'll do that.
She's been bugging since the bug...
We'll get it, folks. Don't worry. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number 855-500-7445. Visit us online. Get a backstage pass and become a part of the greatest online radio family in the history of the world. We're weird. We're unique. We are multiplying by... We're multiplying like ants. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. I'm kidding. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Go to some phone calls here. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Online at philhenryshow.com. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I enjoy your program a lot, Phil, and the story about a baby bug, or baby buggy, you reminded me of a story when my daughter was born. Her name is Bella, and she was born, and my brother, her uncle, came to babysit the kids. And I remember him, when I called him up, I said, how are the kids doing? He said, they're doing great. And he says, right now, I'm doing a model airplane with my son at the time. I said, well, how's Bella? And she's in a buggy. And he said, well, don't bug me. And I started laughing because I thought he was kidding. And he said, what are you laughing at? I said, well, you said, don't bug me. Bella's in a buggy. You know, and I was laughing, but he didn't understand, you know. So I said, do you understand what you said? You said, Bella's in a buggy, don't bug me. He said, and he tried to repeat it, and the same thing happened to him. What happened to, I heard the other lady there, you know, she's bugging, he's a buggy. And so finally, what we did was we gave my daughter a middle name of Bella Buggy, right? And my last name, which is an old German name, is Bouget. It's kind of an Alsace-Lorraine name.
Uh-huh.
And so my daughter's name is Bella Buggy Bouget. And she left home and immediately got a name change, you know, to something like Mary Brown. I forget. My wife's here. What's she? Yeah. So it goes to show you that when you try to have a sense of humor, what happens, you know?
Your daughter left home when?
She turned 15. She left home.
When she turned 15? She was a runaway.
Well, yeah. I mean, we tried to track it down, but by then it was too late. She'd moved in with a gentleman that makes... a small filmmaker in North Carolina, in Wilmington, North Carolina, makes movies.
And how long ago was this?
Oh, this is about 10, 15 years ago. But her name was Bella Buggy Bouget, and she said to me, I got one question to ask you. How did I get this name? I said, because your uncle said that I was bugging him the day you were in the buggy. And she said, and you know that my last name's Bouget. I said, yeah, it's my last name, too. She goes, okay, that tears it. And she packed a little overnight bag. She's only 15 years old, but she packed this little Pan Am bag she had. And it was actually a bag that comes with a big stand-up doll. Have you ever seen the big giant dolls that they have?
Big giant dolls?
Yeah, it's a big doll.
Well, they have the big... Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, well, this came with the doll. It was a little overnight bag. So my daughter used that. She packed some, you know, her clothes and got a one-way ticket on Greyhound down to Wilmington. And
Wait. So this is a bizarre story. She left home and moved in with a guy that makes movies because you named her Bella Buggy?
No. Because I named her Bella Buggy. Her middle name had been, I think, what was her middle name? Jennifer.
Well, I mean, the kid got angry at you changing her name to Bella Buggy Bouget.
Right, but I mean, it was the play on words. She was in a buggy. I tried to tell her. I said, look, you were in a buggy. And she says, what's that got to do with it? I said, what am I supposed to do? I mean, your uncle said, don't bug me. Bella's in a buggy. I said, I got to do something with that. I got to make something out of that. I can't let that moment pass me by. And she said, I understand. I understand completely. But I got to do what I got to do. She said, you made your decision, and now I got to make mine. And I said, well, you leaving because your middle name is Buggy? And she said, that and the last name, Bouget. And she said, really, that the thing that tore it was my first name, Bella. She said that no one's named Bella that's under the age of 60. I said, well, except for you. And she said, that tears it. And she picked up the Pan Am bag, and she was out the door.
And do you have any communication with her now?
Oh, yeah, all the time. She's married now. She's got a couple of kids.
And who did she marry?
The guy that makes the movies.
What kind of movies does this guy make? I should ask you.
Well, he makes travelogues.
He makes travelogues. Oh, please. This girl moves in with a filmmaker in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he makes travelogues.
He makes travelogues, but it's a... And he didn't make any with her, because he assured me, I know his name, is Kevin, he's a good kid, but it's yeah, he's in the adult film business, so when I say travelogue, it's a... If you get a play on words there, the travelogue...
No, I don't get that at all. I don't think I want to get that.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, that's the what he does. And so, and I asked Bella, I said, and she said, that's what she told me. My name's Mary Brown. I said, that's a terrible name. She said, yes, it is. She said, but I'd rather be called Mary Brown than Bella Bougie. I said, no, your name's Bella Bouget. She said, the middle name that you did to me, and then she just slammed the door. She slammed the screen door. And I said, you can't really slam a screen door because there's no wind resistance. And I opened it up and I walked in and she made me coffee. And
okay, I get the general idea here. So you're on good terms with your daughter now?
Oh, yeah, we're in very good terms. Got two grandkids. But her name's Mary Brown.
But her name is Mary Brown. That's about the weirdest story. What, Bud?
Dude, you said she changed her name to Mary Brown and a guy makes travel logs. You sure she's not in these movies?
You know, that's a pretty filthy thing for you to say, kid. I mean, I have not said nothing to offend you. That's a filthy, dirty, rotten thing to say to a father of a woman who she moved in with a filmmaker who makes pornographic, you know, movies like that, but...
No, why do you say that's filthy? I mean, the kid's... He's just... You're the guy with the story.
Well, I know. I got the story here, but I got the... I didn't do it. My daughter did it. Her name, she had a perfectly good name.
You named her Bella. Let me tell you something. When you start screwing around with kids' names, especially when it's that the adult thinks it's funny, and they saddle the kid with some gonzo freaking name. I'll never forget, as long as I live, when Grace Slick and Paul Kantner named their daughter God, and she changed it. The daughter changed it to China.
Oh, that was China Kantner on MTV.
Yeah, she was very good. I don't know what happened to her, but...
Probably got married to a guy, changed her name to Mary Brown.
Well, see, that's what's happening. Probably changed her name to Mary Brown. If you say that I made a mistake with Bella Bouget, or Bouget, Buggy...
What's your last name?
Our last name is Buggy.
No, you said your last name was Bouget.
That's what I heard you say.
No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. My last name is Buggy, and the middle name is Bouget, and I called her Buggy, because we replaced the middle name... But here's the thing.
No, that's not what you said. You said that your middle name, not your middle name.
My daughter's middle name is Bouget. Our last name is Buggy.
Your last name is Buggy. And your brother said what?
I said, where's Bella? He said, Bella Buggy is in the buggy. And he said, don't bug me.
That's not what you said. You said something different.
Well, what was it?
I don't remember.
A lot of people, that's what happened to a lot of people. I tell them a story. They hear things. They imagine things. They imagine wild, crazy things when I tell them this story. I don't know what it is. I say, look, I told you, my daughter's name is Bella Boogie Buggy, and her middle name was Bouget. We changed it, and I said that when I called up, my brother said, she's in the buggy and she's bugging. I forget what he said.
Yeah, you forget what he said. You know what? You're changing the facts of this story as you go.
No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I've been listening to your show all night. You've had people calling up crying like babies, sniffling like little girls. My name is Buggy. Okay, you can pronounce it Boogie if you want. B-U-G-G-Y, all right? And they used to call me Babe. You were talking about Babe? They called me Babe Buggy.
They called you Babe Buggy, why?
Because Buggy's my last name.
No, but why'd they call you Babe?
It was a nickname. I was a fat kid. And on the day when that Baby Ruth candy bar, that whole thing, they finally started calling me Baby Buggy. You know, I know when people are laughing at me.
I wasn't laughing at the guy. I'm.
You know what? Don't you know when someone's yanking your chain?
No, that guy's serious, man. I called him back. I found him in the Yellow Pages under Buggy.
You found him in the Yellow Pages? That's probably Baby Buggy. It's a business that sells him.
Oh.
This is a guy. You gotta look for him in the White Pages.
Yeah, you gotta look for a guy in the White Pages and a Baby Buggy in the Yellow Pages. Why?
Because it's a business, man. He's a real guy. I found him in the Yellow Pages. You probably found some place that sells Baby Buggies.
Yeah, did he say his name was Baby Buggy?
He gave me some cockamamie story about how his nickname was Baby. So they called him Baby Buggy, and his last name's Buggy, and don't bug me, and he's got a, you know what, man, no wonder his daughter moved out. I bet you she moved out not because of the name. I bet you she just wanted to be as far away as she could get from that nut, Mary Brown. Okay, that's fantastic, folks. All right, you got one day. It is Halloween, man. Are you digging this? It's Halloween on the East Coast anyway. It's Halloween, and that means that with Halloween being here, Halloween is, well, it's here, man. So that means that you can, you got one day left to get yourself a Backstage Pass and get a free download for the month of October. Backstage Pass and a free download for the month of October. It's still the 30th here on the West Coast, but happy Halloween to you guys out east, and we'll be right back, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What the hell is this, man? Bud, you are really losing it, you know?
That'd be very nice.
Yeah, nice bumper music, man. Anyway, welcome back to the program here. That's Christmas music, Jack. We ain't even gotten into Halloween yet. Anyway, welcome back to the program, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's see, we have this latest here, if you didn't know. The Boston Red Sox defeat the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series. David Ortiz and the Red Sox, baseball's bearded wonders. We just heard from Bobby Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association, who says that those beards are religiously offensive, are aimed at Jewish people, rabbinical students, Hasidic, all kinds of stuff like that. And she has sent out a Homeowners Association memorandum to the Boston Red Sox and members of her Homeowners Association, asking them to cease and desist with their beards. Anyway.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, she wants a cease and desist on their beards. She says they're ugly and frightening and, you know.
Well, she is too, and I'm sorry to...
No, Margaret, you know, there's no point.
No, she is. She's ugly and frightening. Sorry. Read it and weep.
Well, you know what she says about you?
I don't care what she says about me.
That you're jealous of the fact that she's got a podcast, and she may someday have her own animated series.
I could... Ask me if I care. Really, Phil, ask me if I care. If I could work up a good belt... Here's one. There, that's how I feel about that.
Great, what a lady.
That's right.
Shane Victorino, symbolic of these resilient Sox, returned from a stiff back and got...
Turned from a stiff what?
Back. Got Boston rolling with a three-run double off the Green Monster against rookie sensation Michael Waka. Shows you what a baseball fan I am. John Lackey became the first pitcher to start and win a series clincher for two different teams, allowing one run over 6.2 innings, 11 years earlier after his Game 7 victory as an Angel rookie in 2002. So, there is the story there on the Boston Red Sox winners of the World Series. There wasn't the cowboy comeback charm of the Idiots from 2004 who swept St. Louis to end an 86-year title drought. There wasn't that cool efficiency of the 2007 team that swept Colorado. This time, they were Boston strong, playing for a city shaken by the marathon bombings in April. Wow, I forgot that they'd won in 2007. See, one of the reasons why I can't get into baseball is just the Colorado, you know.
Oh, come on, Phil. I mean, the Colorado, they're almost 20 years old, that team.
Well, that's true. That's true. Colorado was 1994? Yeah, I think that's when they started. So there's that. There's another story here that's kind of weird. Do you know about this mystery barge thing?
Yeah, I heard about this. Some barges out on a California coast.
The what?
Mystery barges, as in freight barges, as in ships. They've got a picture of one here. Shows a barge on Treasure Island with the eastern span of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge at the rear in San Francisco. There it is there. It's a barge with these large containers. Now, each of the boxy structures sits atop a barge and looks like a four-story building made up of metal boxes. Little is known about them, but they appear to have been registered by someone familiar with geek speak and a sense of humor. So, people believe that these belong to Google. The structures are registered with a Delaware corporation, which I think is where everybody registers corporations now in Delaware.
Oh, really? Why?
I don't know, but everywhere you turn, somebody's got a Delaware corporation. Someone's got a company that's a Delaware or a Delaware law firm, or, you know, Delaware is the place to go, man, to register a corporation. The structures are registered with a Delaware corporation as BAL0001, BAL0010, BAL. So this is like, it's binary code used in computing. The numbers spell out 1, 2, 3, and 4. Currently, numbers 1 and 2 are on the water in San Francisco, and number 3 is in Portland Harbor in Maine.
Oh, so this is a bunch of tech geeks with a little, you know what, that's why I hate those people. I really do, because tech geeks only make each other laugh. They don't make anyone else laugh.
What? They're funny.
No, they're not funny. Tech geeks are a bunch of jackballs that laugh among themselves, but the rest of the world doesn't get it. And
all right, so they're laughing at the rest of the world then, you know.
Well, let them, because no one knows what the joke is.
Well, I mean, it's funny to them.
Well, they're going to alienate the rest. This is the problem, Phil. They're alienating the real customers who are not conversant with the tech world. So you have all these tech geeks and their little senses of humor and their computers and their stupid...
Yeah?
And they piss me off and everyone else.
Well, I will give you this.
Thank you.
Well, Margaret, don't get bent out of shape. I'll give you this much, that there is a necessity, there is definitely a need for some kind of a bridge between the world of the tech geek and the world of the consumer. A lot of these guys, say, are developers or they're website designers, things like this. And then they have guys like me, and there are far more of us than there are of them, and we're the customer. We're the ones that are paying the price. We're the ones that are going to hire them. We're the ones that are going to want what we want. And they have to learn how to speak the language of the consumer. Most of these guys are so geeked out that they think, oh, wow, it's just like I told Lawrence Ross and those guys on Larry's radio show. I said, you have to be able to speak the language of the common man. So it may be simple to the average geek to say, oh, all you have to do is hit this link and then go there and then hit this button and you're there. But every time you force somebody to hit a link, there's attrition. There is a customer attrition. People just fall away. They don't want to deal with it. So the fewer the links to hit, the fewer buttons to hit, the more customers. And I always tell my guys this. I say, when you do something, because we're in like, I mean, come on, let's face it. Our website has so much on it in terms of radio material that we are always have got busted links. And I'd say it takes a lot more to monitor a website like ours than any other one. What's with you guys?
I was nodding off.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on, you know.
What do you mean, come on what, man?
Well, I was just... No, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I'll try and stay awake, but...
You know what? I'm talking to the real people. You guys go ahead and fall asleep.
Phil, I'm not... I'm listening.
I'm just saying that the more links you have... Bud, listen to this, because you helped me with the website. The more links somebody has to hit. You understand? So what did I say to you when I said we need to redo the contact thing on the webpage?
You said it's the fact thing didn't mean nothing.
Exactly. So if people want help, they go to contact, and it should be right there. Here's what you do to get help. This is for Backstage Pass people. This is for other people. Bang. Now, that's already, as far as I'm concerned, that's two buttons they got to push. That's too many. And what I was hoping that they would do is at some point...
Barry.
Is this...
David said. Yeah, you pretty much... I mean, you need... Get anything more you want to say?
Yeah. Bud, I hate you, and I hate... I hate Robert, and I... Never mind. So anyway...
Let me see this thing. Yeah, it looks like a bunch of jive ass.
Bunch of tech monkeys, man. Why do you want to waste the time on a tech monkey?
What's a tech monkey?
But Mr. Henry's talking about just a bunch of tech monkey.
You don't waste your time on a tech monkey. You have far more things you should be talking about, Mr. Henry. I mean, you were talking there about, I want to know more about that dark matter. And what the hell's that all about? Talk about the universe expanding.
Just shut up about it.
Oh, yeah? Does it scare you?
Shut up.
Oh, look at you, man. You're afraid of the universe expanding, huh?
We talk about a big tear. What is that big rip thing?
The universe is expanding. At some point, it's going to rip apart. Not for billions and millions of years, bud. You know, it's the same old story. What makes you think you're so important that you're going to witness the end of the world?
What?
What makes you think you're so important that you're going to witness the end of the world? What makes any man so egotistically narcissistic that he thinks the end is near? That's why that thing, that Bill Maher thing, cracked me up.
You're talking about a big rip.
All I'm telling you is what scientists have said, that there is dark matter that's pulling the universe slowly apart. Now, this experiment, I can't say it failed, but they failed to prove that there's dark matter. They're looking to prove that there's dark matter, and they have a machine that they're using to try and prove that, and they were not able to do it. So, okay, it was about a 100-day experiment, and it didn't work.
And how much is that costing the U.S. taxpayer?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's something that's... I don't know. Maybe it's too much. To find out what dark matter is, you're probably right.
Well, it's not going to blow up now.
It ain't going to blow up. It's going to tear apart.
It's not going to threaten us now.
No.
That's a waste of money.
It's not about whether it's going to rip apart now. It's just something that's really interesting. That's all. God, you guys, man. All right, we'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com. Make sure that you get a backstage pass and watch us online this Saturday for our big, our six-day bonus video cast as I do tequila shots and practice my drunk history recitations, although I won't be tipping my hand, if you'll pardon the expression, tip, as to what it is I'll be talking about. We'll be right back on a Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And good evening. Final segment here of our program. Reminding you that we are a radio show that continues to evolve. We continue to change how we do things, how we approach things. As such, when we have those little technical glitches like we had last night, please understand that we're working to make things so much better for you. I say that because I should have just kept the camera rolling. We could have done a video cast last night. We didn't have to be online.
Yes, and then people could have watched it today.
Exactly, but I didn't think of that because I'm not too bright when it comes... I'm not too swift when it comes to stuff like that. Make sure you visit our online store at philhenryshow.com. We've got T-shirts, we got caps, we got shot glasses, we have coffee mugs, we have keychains, we have a whole array of CDs. As a matter of fact, our classic CDs, we call them our classic CDs from 1997 through 2005, are all, what do we call them? They're all analog, right, man?
It's like a hard copy, man.
Yeah, hard copy.
Yeah, it's hard copy.
Whatever.
All right, so it's got the artwork, and two of them we autograph for you, as a matter of fact. I think it's our 2000 and our 2001 that we autograph, or maybe it's the 99, but they're available online as well. We have downloads, the best of Bobby Dooley, the best of Ted Bell downloads, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So visit our online store at philhenryshow.com and get a handful of all of that, should that be something that you would be interested in. And let's see, what else? Well, just as I mentioned, Saturday, that's our bonus. The reason why I feel like we need to do a bonus show is because, I think we should have had a show ready to download today, and I just completely spaced on it. So, hey, what do you want from me? Here's a thing here. Margaret, you found this, right?
Well, I find this interesting. New York protesters target Barney's after black shoppers claim bias. A small group of demonstrators shouting, "No shop and frisk," gathered at the Manhattan storefront of Barney's, New York, on Wednesday to express outrage over black customers' complaints they were stopped by police after making luxury purchases. The protest, organized by Brooklyn pastor Clinton Miller, coincided with an investigation by the state attorney general into the security practices at Barney's and fellow retailer Macy's. Now, as you know, Macy's is quite the historic store. Very traditional. They have...
get the Thanksgiving Day Parade, too.
Yes, they have the Thanksgiving Day Parade. This is very bad publicity for Macy's, especially with the Thanksgiving Day Parade coming up.
Well, do you think black people are going to boycott it?
Well, I would if I were black. I'd boycott it, but I'm white.
Well, okay. Well, why wouldn't you boycott it? Well, you really want to boycott them, huh?
I didn't say I would. If I were black, I would. I am white, and I can boycott in sympathy, but it's one of the traditions at our home, and that is to sit, and as the turkey is being prepared, to sit and look at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The reason for this is because it really works up an appetite for all of us, because of all the big fat balloons that float by, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that'd make me hungry, too. Why?
Because of the fat balloons.
Yeah, there's something about the balloons that are fat that do give us the appetite. And it's also just a beautiful, wonderful tradition. Now, the idea that such a marvelous tradition, a beautiful Thanksgiving Day tradition, can be perpetrated by abject race haters... And
well, let's not call them that, for God's sake. I mean, you don't know that it's abject race hate. It's one of those ingrained. If it's taking place at all at Macy's, it's one of those very ingrained security practices that may be hard for some individuals to break.
You don't think it's like a company-wide policy?
I don't know. It's very difficult for me to believe that a modern-day company is going to say directly to their security people and make sure you double-check all the black shoppers. I think it is something that is a security dictum of some kind.
But you just said dictum.
Yeah, as in order. What a jerk, man.
What?
Not everything is filthy, bud. I know it goes in filthy into your ears because your ears are already filthy. And that's an indication as to what you hear, nothing but filth. Look at those ears.
Ow, ow.
Look at the...
Ow, my ear.
Look at the filth and the blackness in there. Go clean them.
Go clean your ears, bud.
No.
Anyway, so what are you saying?
No, what are you saying?
I'm just saying that I don't think it's... I think that there, if there is racial prejudice or there's some kind of racially biased security procedure, it's as the result of individuals... acting in that manner. I just think it's difficult to believe. I mean, look, if you're a company that wants to make sure that you are definitely racially profiling people in terms of security, what, are you going to make that an official policy? Okay, everybody, now here's what it is.
Well, no, you wouldn't, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't be an official policy. But it's going to be difficult for us to boycott the Macy's parade because, as I say, it's very traditional. We sit, and what we do is I make the early morning stuffing, and we have stuffing for breakfast. And then Ampara comes in and she prepares along with her husband Oscar. They prepare the bulk of the turkey. Frank goes out and barbecues one. I deep fry one.
Well, how many turkeys do you make?
Oh, we've got at least three or four. We have a lot of people over.
How many people do you have over?
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. Probably a good 50 or 60 people.
What, are they homeless?
No, they're not homeless, but we do go out and feed the homeless. But most of the bird, even though we have 50 or 60 people, most of the food is eaten by myself, Frank, and Jason J. Delmonico. We make sure of that. So we'll cook four birds, but hide probably two of them.
What do you mean hide them? What, Margaret, how much food can you eat?
Don't look at me like I'm a pig. Mike, did you see the look in his face?
Yeah, Miss Hilly.
You're all like, ooh. We hide two of the turkeys in case some of these slobs...
Well, Margaret, you've got 60 people coming over.
For booze. For drinks.
Oh, they've already had their meal.
Yes, they've had their meal. They better have had their meal because they're not... You don't think I'm going to feed them, do you? They're not getting any food off of me. Let me tell you something. I've got a son and a husband. Anyone tries to take food off of the table out of my son's mouth... And I'll take that fork that I test the interior of the turkey with and drive it into someone's throat.
Wow.
God, man.
I'm sorry.
Phew. Get a load of that. Boy, I really love the Thanksgiving spirit you got there.
Well, then don't bait me with those questions.
I'm not baiting you. I'm not trying to bait you. I mean, you cook four turkeys. You hide two of them.
Yes. In case we run out of food, I want to make sure that my son eats. I'm not giving it away to these slobs that come in for their drinks.
Man, Morgan, I mean, remind me not to come to your house with something to eat.
If you come to my house, you're more than welcome, Robert. You drink. You don't eat at my house.
All right, so you start off Thanksgiving.
We start off Thanksgiving with the traditional stuffing. We make four birds. Two of them are ours, and the other two go into hiding. Or we hide them.
Okay. And
don't, Phil, don't give me that look like it's all really shocking. Don't tell... I've seen your... I remember when you were 300 pounds, so don't give me that.
Well, Margaret, I can tell you, even when I was 300 pounds, I never cooked the turkey and hid it from people, okay?
No, you'd eaten it already.
Yeah. All right, so great. So the Macy's Day Parade will not be boycotted by Margaret, even though Macy's has been at least singled out in some kind of a racial profiling of black customers who are stopped and frisked after making luxury purchases. What is a luxury purchase at Macy's?
Well, it could be anything. It could be crystal. It could be furnishings. Who knows?
Well, four black shoppers have said they were detained in separate incidents in the two stores and later released without charges, touching off the latest racial controversy at a largely integrated city that nonetheless experiences frequent debates about prejudice and equality. And ain't that America, man, especially in neighborhoods and especially in areas where the races, black, white, brown, where we all mix, mingle, work together, and sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we clash. I mean, that's America, and that is the reality of our country, and I'm proud of a country that's working it out. People thrown together have to figure it out, man.
Yeah, you don't have a riot.
No, you don't want to have a riot, but you are, you know, that's what happens in a country like ours, and there is no other like our country. All right.
Yay, there you go. There's the big patriotic pitch.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Back on track. See you tomorrow night. Don't forget, after the show, of course, we will have a show log up on our website, philhenryshow.com, so check that out, and there'll be a podcast of the show tomorrow on philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley's podcast returning tomorrow as well. See you later. You eat the whole turkey yourself.
Put the whole bird in your mouth.
Yes, I... You're filthy. You got the talk.